All right, here we are. Working, working, working. Lots of things going on out there, and what we'd really like to underscore without driving it into the ground is that there are an awful lot of people out there. 80%+ of Americans were injected. There's a significant number of the remaining 20% who have been shed upon to the extent that they are no longer functioning at 100%, which is not good. And they're sick, and they're not getting better, and they're getting worse. And those who have been vaccinated are also sick, and they're not getting better. And that's sad. And this is the way it is all around the world. Understand, it's not just here. We haven't been singled out for special treatment necessarily. But you don't hear about what's going on around the world. And that's the way they play the game. It's information is the most powerful tool in mass mind control and manipulation. And information that is often corrupted and certainly remodeled to suit their fancy. They don't tell us the truth, not very often. That's what, at one time, makes this job difficult, but also makes it rather easy, because you can just assume by the source that what they're usually reporting is at least half lies or distortion. So that's why it's so tough to walk through the alt news media world and come away without any injuries yourself. It's difficult out there. All right, time to go to the wall. Reminds me of the high school dance. Would you like to dance, young lady? You're sitting here all alone in that lovely pink dress. Here's a corsage for you. Will that help?
Okay.
You don't even remember that, corsages, dresses. They used to do that.
I do remember that.
Really? All right, when boys used to take girls to the dance, they'd often show up at the girl's house with a corsage. It's true.
Right.
I don't think corsages even exist anymore. So it's crazy.
Different era.
And not better either. Not at all. All right.
We've discarded with a lot of these formalities and...
They were little kindnesses. They were sweet. They were nice things.
Right.
Nothing wrong about them. Nothing corny about them. Not at all. All right, take over for 30 seconds. I've got to go close that noise down in the background. It's too loud. All right.
Okay, well,
tell them a story.
On the topic of news, I would just say that, I mean, I am just struck by the stark contrast in, you know, what's being pushed around in mainstream media versus what's actually happening. It's just amazing that they can perpetuate so much propaganda and nonsense and distract the masses with it. And, you know, we played a couple of clips from Michael Yon, and who's really knocking it out of the park lately, just sharing everything he knows in terms of intel. And it's utterly daunting what's coming down the pike.
Yes.
So we'll see. That's a very good story. If you can find him on Twitter, he's worth following. You're really, really, really shake you up a bit about what's happening. It ain't pretty.
Well, Michael Yon has been around for a long time. He knows what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And he says many things that we support here and I've supported for decades about where this was all going. And he's right on the money. So he's a good one to keep your eye on. And we've run a few things of his. They're up on the homepage. But
basically the entire globe is going to be reconfigured. And they're in the process of doing that. And you know, a big part of that is depopulating the current population, the current global population.
Exactly right. True. So I took the batteries out of the bird, so it'll shut up. Now. We have Monday's program was in my view, extremely important. It opened a door that has been intentionally not walked through by the powers that be in the medical COVID side of things. They haven't gone there. And we found out, and we covered this Monday, and it's, I just really hope you all listen to that program, the whole thing, very carefully, because we have turbo cancer. And now we know that most turbo cancers that can be traced back to the injection and being shed upon are full of spike cells. Spike wall to wall. Spike everywhere. The spike is causing these turbo cancers. In fact, it can be argued, I think, reasonably, that spike is many of these turbo cancers. It's got the cell in shock. The mRNA-infested cells are producing spike. And that's your cancer. It does remind me of Arnie Burkhart. If Arnie were still around, he'd be all over this. You see, they haven't taken, what would you call them? I guess you'd call them turbo tumors. I don't know. Turbo tumors. They haven't looked at them. They haven't opened them up.
Well,
they haven't stained them to see if spike is there. No. And now all of a sudden that somebody did that, and I know damn well it's been going on, but it's being done in the QT, on the QT. They're being quiet about it. They know.
Well, you would think it should be standard procedure. You know, why are we having all these cancers all of a sudden? What's unique about them?
Right. I couldn't agree more. Okay. September is the target date that we were told. We did a little research last week with some pharmacies, Walgreens, Rite Aids.
A couple weeks ago.
And they announced that the new COVID, I guess we could call it a booster. Maybe it's a preliminary, a number one or a number two.
Well, it's going to, provide protection for the current variant.
Uh-huh. Which variant? Pick a variant, any variant.
Right.
It's coming out in September, so there'll be a marketing campaign, which would suggest that most of us will still be here in September. But the dirtiest part of this whole genocide is how they are so inhuman in their treatment of humankind. It is so heartless. I don't have the words. I could spend a lot of time explaining it, but you already know. These people don't give a good goddamn about human life, morality, about people suffering and anguish, agony, about killing little babies, little children, killing old people who don't deserve that kind of treatment under any circumstances. These are monsters. These are not people. And they do not mix on this planet. Not with the kind of people that I like to think are in the majority anyway. So it's bad. That's number one. Now, number two, they're going to roll out again this basis on it's a paid per shot. They're going to get paid for this. That'll be behind a lot of the efforts to push it, which, as you know now, the idea of paying for killing in the hospitals is old news. There's nothing new about that. They've been doing that for 3 years, more than that.
Yep.
So it's all about money. If that's the most progress we have made as a species, I guess it could be said that after, 100,000 years, 10,000 years, just to be fun-oriented, we kind of don't deserve anything less than our fate. We haven't been vigilant. We haven't figured it out. And I think a lot of people know, but they just don't want to go there. Why? Because they've got the ball game is being played at the Roman Arena, and they've got hot dogs and beer and whatever. They cleverly built this sports empire to cover the full calendar year. You just switch sports. You got your favorite team and whatever type of sport it is. And that's pretty much it. Other than that, you have TV. I won't say it. Sitcoms. They're horrible, and yet they have they have attracted audiences. So one way or another, they've got people addicted. And shame on the people for being that shallow. But maybe they are that shallow, and that's the best they can do. So then I shouldn't criticize them,
should I? Well, they're paying for it. You know, they are paying for their ignorance at this point.
It's
we're
just
paying for it too, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's truly, these are truly incredible times. And the idea that most people are able to ignore their physiological decline, since if they're part of the 81%, since they got injected, most of them are, they all seem to say, I'm not the same. Things haven't been the same. Some will say, I can't pinpoint it. I just don't feel right. I'm not right. Well, they just give it a little time. The spike is at work. Prions are at work. Don't worry. You'll be finding out soon enough.
That's right. I think people forget that even though people may appear fine on the exterior, and they may be, you know, going along okay, nothing's really, you know, standing out in terms of ailments, but it's because their immune systems have been downregulated. They're not going to have symptoms. They're for whatever reason, their bodies have made peace with this foreign mRNA and the protein that it's producing. And these are the people that tend to be the ones that can tolerate the infection without many symptoms and spread the infection, unfortunately. They can often replicate a virus, in this case, SARS-CoV-2 virus, to extremely high levels and not have any symptoms. And I do believe that that is what a lot of people think is just shedding. They actually are being infected with the virus.
I
just know people that, you know, shedding, I would call a poisoning.
Sure,
it shouldn't linger, you know, for 2 years.
No.
3 years. I mean, there are people, a couple in the shedding group that they were just slayed. You know, they got around somebody that had just had the vax, very mm-hmm. close contact, and they are literally to this day still paying for it. They're not healthy. I don't know what's wrong with them. You know, they
don't know what's wrong with them either in many cases.
They don't, but, you know, there's several possibilities that they could be, you know, as if they were vaxxed, they could be suffering something of a vax injury. Maybe they acquired
injuries,
the mRNA
they're
the adenoviral vector.
There are scores of different kinds, levels, and degrees of injuries. Just too many to even list right now.
Well,
that's
the other
part
big
of the
one
problem.
Is this reawakening of latent viruses, and most notably these herpes viruses, of which mm-hmm. there are several. You know, we hear a lot about the shingles.
What's the latest on shingles?
Also,
are you getting a lot of reports on shingles?
Tons of people have uh-huh. shingles right now, and they have a lot of trouble getting over it. But then we have, you know, just herpes simplex virus, uh-huh. which is known to contribute to Bell's palsy, for one, but also encephalitis. That's a herpes virus that can get into the brain and cause encephalitis. There's CMV, cytomegalovirus. That's a herpes virus. That's known for causing glioblastoma. There's HHV6.
Nice?
Uh-huh. Yeah, HHV6 is known to cause vasculitis or endotheliitis, and also immune suppression. There's Epstein-Barr. That's known to cause chronic fatigue, immune suppression, lymphoma. So these herpes viruses are not benign. And
couldn't
if they
be
wake
involved
up and you don't
with,
have the...
With, excuse me, go ahead.
If you don't have the immune competence to knock them back down into their quiescent state, well, they're going to have their way with you.
I suspect, and always have, some of these viruses as triggering traditional types of cancers. especially herpes. I don't trust herpes. There are too many types of it, and it's not a good, it's a nasty virus. The Romans used to complain about it. The Greeks complained about it. It's been around
forever.
Well,
again, there's several different types, but they all have one thing in common, in that, you know, once you acquire the infection, you have it for life.
Right. Isn't that nice? It's kind of like marrying the wrong woman. Yeah, I got a new writer. Do you like? Never mind. All right.
That's wonderful.
Okay. Well, it works both ways. Marrying the wrong man. Don't want to leave anybody out here. We have a video here, and if you know someone who's gotten sick from vax injury, shedding vax injury, and they go to the hospital, and they're nailed. They've had it rough, and the hospital's ready to discharge them, but they really aren't ready to go home. Where do they go? Now, some of you listening know all too well where they go, but the average person doesn't usually think that way. They either go home or they're in the hospital. No. There's a whole huge industry called nursing homes. Nursing homes. And the stories in there are enough for 1,000 major motion pictures of Halloween horror. Believe it. They kill people in there a lot. More so, perhaps, in the beginning than now, but it was a terrible place to go. How many people, I'm curious. Let me find this out. How many people are living in nursing homes? Let's see if we can get any number on this. Pennsylvania, 80,000. How many people in the U.S.? Approximately 1.2 million in the U.S. are residing in more than 15,000 different certified nursing homes. That's a growth industry.
Obviously. Oh, yes. Yeah.
So, and they do charge a hell of a lot. Well, if you need assisted care in a nursing home, I think you can expect to pay about $4,000 a month.
It depends on what level.
50 grand a year.
I think you're being conservative.
I'm trying to. Normal ambulatory rates are around $3,500 a month. So it would have to be $1,500 a month more for assisted. So let's say $5,000 a month, I think, would be fair for assisted.
Yeah, that's probably the lower end.
Even there?
I think I've heard figures of 10,000. You know, if it involves, oh, I don't know, memory care, so to speak. It's not cheap. You will literally be drained of your life savings if you have to go into one of those.
And that's what we've been talking about for a long time. It's called the transfer of wealth as a bonus when you launch genocide against the world. Transfer of wealth. Think about it. Does assisted care cost in a nursing home? Because if you're not ready for this, it may hit some of you before you're even remotely ready. In 2021, the 2020 average monthly statewide cost in Oregon, that's spelled O-R-Y-G-U-N, Oregon, is $4,700 a month. The average cost is about $4,300 a month. But that's 4 years ago. So let's tag on 15%, huh? Inflation,
well, are you
easy?
Talking about, I mean, assisted living means you're still somewhat reasonably independent. You just, you know, you do need a little bit of care or looking after. But if you're, you know, debilitated in some way and you need somebody to move you around and bathe you, and I think it's substantially more.
Most likely. At any rate, it's a hell of a lot, okay? And there's your transfer of wealth. Well, we can't put mom. We've got to put mom in a nursing home. We can't push her off in some state facility. So there goes the. They pull the plug on the bathtub of the entire family's accumulated hard work, wealth, and it starts to drain out fast.
You know, unless you had the foresight to put it into a trust, and I think, what is the window, 5 years prior?
Don't know.
Or is it seven?
Don't know.
Probably varies by state.
I don't trust any of it. It's a little pun. Okay. I don't know. Emily Nuremberg is a professional in nursing home care, and she's going to have a few things to say on a children's health defense video about nursing home horrors. So if you're not involved with the nursing home transfer of wealth game, take a listen anyhow here.
Welcome, Emily.
Thank you. Geriatric physical therapists and occupational therapists, we work in skilled nursing facilities. Most of you would probably know them as nursing homes. So some of the residents are long-term care residents. That's their forever home. They're unable to care for themselves at home any longer, and so they go to a rest home or a retirement home or a nursing home. And then we also have patients that come for short-term rehab. Say they fall and break a hip at home, or they have a stroke and they're, you know, suffering from paralysis. They will come from the hospital for short-term rehabilitation to try to gain back as much independence as possible with activities of daily living like dressing, bathing, cooking, and mobility, walking, in hopes that they can return back home. Some of our patients and residents do make it back home to their prior living environment, but some of them will continue to need assistance with basic self-care tasks and mobility tasks, and they end up living in the nursing home.
And so you were doing this during the COVID era, were you?
Yes, I've been an occupational therapist in the nursing homes and in the skilled rehab nursing facilities for 23 years. So I have a big comparison to what daily life and therapy and these environments were like pre-COVID, during COVID, and now post-COVID, post.
I don't think we can say that. By any stretch of the imagination, post-COVID, well, maybe in terms of alleged infections from the bioweapon virus, but as long as there are people alive who've been injected with the so-called COVID vaccine and are suffering injury and are on the way out, we're still in that COVID window, big time, I would say. But people do want to look at it as if it's in the past. I think that's an error.
Well, Joe Biden declared the pandemic over, right?
Oh,
what was it, two years ago?
I'll be able to rest better tonight. Thank you. That's good. Very good.
All right. There she is, straight up on screen. We're going to get straight into the show. Been traveling for 22 years from one facility to another.
Hold on. I got to move it forward. All right.
Vaccine.
So this is a bit that we really need to get to. What did you see during COVID? What was different during COVID than pre-COVID? On the bus, we had so many, and we are still hearing so many stories of abuse, of people taking the shots and dying, people being given midazolam, remdesivir, all kinds of stuff. Talk to us about what you saw as a frontline carer.
Everything came to the nursing homes first. When the lockdowns began in March of 2020, it hit the nursing homes first. The masks hit the nursing homes first. The COVID vaccines were delivered to the elderly patients in the nursing homes first. And even after the country opened back up, the nursing homes remained locked down for months and months and months. So in the very initial stages, like I live in Kansas, and Kansas didn't come, or COVID didn't come to my area of the state until about June of 2020. And it hit my nursing home in September of 2020. So even prior to COVID hitting the nursing homes, we were completely locked down. And the residents that live in the nursing homes, you know, were unable to see their loved ones. It was very heartbreaking. It was very sad to watch. And of course, I can't prove this, but I really believe I witnessed multiple nursing home residents that literally just died of broken hearts.
There was no justification for that. None. Not allowing patients,
I know it,
guests to have their family visit them. Make them put on gowns, make them put on a mask, whatever. They wanted to see their loved ones. I'll never forget that one picture. I don't remember where it was, somewhere in the Midwest, where the family was allowed to approach the older lady in the nursing home on the other side of a relatively translucent, large plastic drape. And they were allowed to touch hands on either side of the plastic. That's all they would allow. That, to me, that is so inhuman, it doesn't calculate.
I know.
And she just said, she said the obvious truth, that many of these people died of a broken heart. They just gave up. And I know some of you listening have been through that sort of a situation with a loved one in your lives. This is just, it's not human. This isn't.
From being so isolated and just suddenly having all connection with their loved ones cut off. And a lot of people that live in nursing homes, you know, they have some level of dementia or Alzheimer's, and you couldn't explain to them what was happening, you know, that there was this worldwide, you know, pandemic virus, and that you couldn't explain to them, you know, why their loved ones weren't coming to see them anymore. They honestly just gave up the will to live.
Honestly, this really makes me angry. It takes a lot to push me in that direction. But I think the people behind this, I don't think there's any punishment too severe for them. I just don't. It was not predicated on science, none of this. It was a lie, all of it.
Yep.
And then it makes me sick. All right.
But then when COVID did hit, there was just no rhyme or reason to how it affected people. I mean, these are elderly people. They're living in nursing homes, so they all have, you know, pre-existing conditions. Early on, we didn't realize, you know, that there was a certain protocol that was being delivered at the hospitals. Anyone that we sent to the hospital, I can't think of one person that returned. If they went to the hospital, they died.
So, let me rephrase it. If they went to the hospital, they were executed. I have no problem with that.
Basically, in the COVID unit for 4 months when the original strain hit, you know, I would just make sure that my patients were hydrated and I would take them for walks if they were able to. You know, just kind of seeing them through basic, you know, things like a low-grade fever and, you know, feeling under the weather. A vast majority of the elderly, even, I mean, from age 80 to, you know, 102, recovered very nicely. The only people that actually did pass away from COVID, if they had like major pre-existing respiratory conditions and were on, you know, 4 liters of oxygen to begin with.
I just want to go back to that, you say dying of heartbreak and stuff. I mean, some of those images of people just holding hands with a glass door and things like that.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Heartbreaking. It's so cruel. It must have broken your heart to be around that.
Oh, it was. Like, we would be on the inside with the patient, you know, and their families would be outside the windows. I mean, some of them would just camp out all afternoon. They would bring their lawn chairs, you know. And, I mean, a lot of elderly are very hard of hearing. They don't know how to, you know, operate cell phones and such. And, yeah, so if they could, I mean, they would try to talk on the cell phone. I mean, yeah, it was just very sad. I don't think anyone should ever have to die alone, ever.
So now the vaccine comes in and you're all starting to hear about this vaccine. Do you mind me asking, did you get the shot?
Oh, no. I've been an avid anti-vaxxer for 22 years. I have 3 children, age 20, 18, 17, that have never received a vaccine in their life. So I was very prepared and awake, you know, when this whole COVID pandemic suddenly came on.
Boy, this is a rare human being. This is a very wise mother. She did her work. She did the research, protected her children. And I know if you could sit down and talk to her, she'd say, my kids were always the healthy ones. They never got sick. Rarely.
Yeah.
This is so important. Vaccines were the beginning of the genocide. This goes way back, 100 years.
Yep.
Vaccines are essentially irrelevant, worthless. They don't perform, and they're full of material that the people taking them have no concept of. They're not being told. It's all lies. Lies, deceit, and death.
Like, oh boy, you know, here we go. And so when the mandates came, I did a religious exemption and it was accepted. I tried to educate and warn, you know, all my coworkers. I was very outspoken. I was very, about the vaccine. And I helped, you know, other nurses and healthcare professionals with their exemptions that, you know, when they felt like they were being forced. Many were completely forced into it, but a lot of us stood strong and we made it through.
Emily, what happened when it was the first vaccination day? Did a team come from outside and just go around vaccinating everyone? Describe to us what happened the day that the vaccine started.
They wheeled everyone down to the chapel in the nursing home, and they were, the residents were just all lined up in wheelchairs, and I just couldn't even bear to watch it. I mean, I was just in tears.
And so they had no choice whether they wanted it or not. They just jabbed them.
That's what's so sad is people living in nursing homes. I mean, they're there because, you know, they're either very physically impaired or cognitively impaired or both. You know, if they had a durable power of attorney, I suppose they would have had to check with them and get it okayed. But there was maybe just a small, small handful of residents that didn't get jabbed.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up there. There's more. 14,000 nursing homes in America, 1.2 million people. Most of those people at that time during the rollout were obviously executed. I don't care if it took a week or 6 months. It doesn't matter. You don't do that to 90, 100-year-old people. This is just hideous.
No, they wanted
this,
to get rid
this
of
this woman
them.
Represents a group of people, dedicated human beings, in this kind of work, which is very difficult. I wouldn't be able to do it. I couldn't do it.
No, that must have been just
looking
just
in the eyes of those people. No. So anyhow, if you've got somebody in a nursing home, and you still care about that person, and I hope you do, every day is special. Make the extra effort. Get over there. If they're still cognitively functional and recognize you as being there, spend that time with them. In many cases, they certainly spent that time with you when you were growing up. So So don't forget about that.
That's right. She does go on to say, well, two things. Number one, most of the original residents that were there have since passed away, which is no surprise. And now the clientele in most of these nursing homes are much younger, and they tend to be people that were in the hospital for something and are, you know, too well to stay in the hospital but not well enough to go home, so they're ending up in nursing homes and much younger. And she herself says that quite a number of her patients, clients, are ALS patients, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Right.
So there's
now,
these people with these movement disorders, right. You know, and they're crippling. They're progressive.
Yeah.
They're ultimately fatal.
Explain that it's not necessarily something like CJD that immobilizes them mentally. They can be fine mentally, basically, and their physiology begins to malfunction and fail.
ALS affects the motor neurons, which is your ability to move your muscles. And most of the time it starts in the extremities, the legs. You know, you might notice a foot drop, and it tends to progress from there, moving up the body. Sometimes it can start higher up. They call it bulbar ALS, and that tends to be a lot faster progressing. I believe that starts in the arms and the neck. So it's closer to the brain. But the last muscles to be paralyzed are the respiratory muscles, the lungs. And so a person just continues to lose their ability to move their muscles. And then they're just, you know, trapped in a body that doesn't move and essentially waiting to die. And it can be fast progressing. It can be relapsing and remitting even. There can be times when it moves quicker than others. Sometimes it almost seems like it stopped, but then something happens and it continues. But it's a dire, dire prognosis, and, you know, the person does need quite a bit of care as it progresses. And it's happening, and she admits this, to, you know, age groups that you wouldn't normally see this in, younger people. And then the other thing that she mentions is that they're still giving these shots.
Right.
So if you know someone that's in there...
you better make your wishes known, and you better get it in writing.
Yeah.
And you better serve them legally with that paper, be my suggestion.
Although, you know, with the shedding of, you know...
Yeah.
You're going to get exposed that way. And I do know of people that have gone into a nursing home unvaxxed that's, you know, obviously succumbed to the effects of shedding.
Right. Okay, so words to the wise. And once again, you are at a severe disadvantage when you're playing into the hands of organized Western medicine, whether it be in the ER, whether it be in any kind of hospital setting or nursing home setting. It doesn't matter. And even if you're back home again, they'll get you through the pharmaceutical, the long arm of the prescription drugs. They'll get you. Mm-hmm. You got to do your work. All right, here's a quickie. Then we'll jump up to Vax Carnage. This is... long hauler COVID. Long haulers support. I don't like looking in the mirror anymore because the person looking back isn't me. I cringe inside when my husband tells me I am beautiful. I was once strong, and now I am weak. I was full of life. Now I fight to get out of bed. I was full of confidence. Now I doubt myself. I used to hike, run, climb, bike. Now I count the steps to where I'm going in the house and determine if it's worth it to make the effort. I used to know where I was going while driving my car. Now I get confused and call my husband to tell me the roads I need to get to get there. I had a lot of friends once. Now I am lonely. There must be the change. I must be the change. So these people who sit and think alone have a lot going on in their minds, many of them. And loneliness is devastating. In this culture, we shouldn't have to deal with it. And maybe if I can be a little bit fanciful, maybe AI will be able to provide audio companionship and video for people in homes like this. There'll be an avatar on the screen, and the avatar will have access to virtually everything humans have ever created, constructed, or experienced, and be able to carry on in a very nicely, respectful, conversant way. I think that's here now already. So maybe AI companions will be something to help in this situation of loneliness. It's something to think
about. Oh, I'm sure. You know, a lot of people, shut-ins, use the television for that now.
It's always been that kind of a drug. So now it'll be interactive, and it'll be 10 times smarter than they are, and cute and kind and pleasant and loyal and always there, always there. So that's where we are. We're on the doorstep now of treating and dealing with loneliness like we've never been able to before. So that's a possible big plus for AI. Think about it.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. I think it's really a sorry statement of where we're going.
So it's horrible, but that's going to be, I think, an option for people that they don't have now. Staring at the TV and reacting, if you can react at all, is certainly less preferential than interacting with an avatar on a screen that can talk to you, tell you stories, whatever. Carry on conversations, endless conversations. So in that regard, it's certainly no substitute for human companionship. But it might be a slight improvement. I don't know. I'm waiting to see. All right. Vax Carnage. See that? There's a string of three.
Yes. Okay. My neighbor died who took the toxic injections. A friend of hers told me it was because of a blood clot. Two other young people that I know who had health issues but were okay died in the hospital during lockdowns. A friend of mine who was in his early 50s, I think, died. Not sure if they took it, or if it was given in the hospital as part of the COVID protocol. A lady who was a pharmacist told me she's not the same since she took it. Said she gets tired and lethargic. I haven't seen her in the pharmacy in a while. I hope she's okay. None of this is proof, but I take a significant note of it, because in this world you can't depend on so-called science alone. With the amount of corruption, lying, pseudoscience that's happening,
you
have to make
it.
Your own estimates. You have to be vigilant and let your God-given intelligence guide you.
And I have no idea where you are. All I see three Vax Carnage stories, but that's not one of them. It's in the newest group, July 5th.
Yeah. This is Vax Carnage 1.
It starts out with...
I'm on June 28th.
Ah. step forward to the head of the class, young lady, and move to July 5th. And finish that off.
All right. Yeah. Couple comments. Someone says, four in my life, one of turbo cancer, two from heart attacks, and the last was my mom. 2 months ago, a brain aneurysm, followed by multiple strokes.
Yeah.
I knew many patients who developed different long-lasting symptoms after they took the injection. Next one says, I know lots of people who either heart attacked, stroked, clotted, are habitually sick because of it. Next one, three people in my immediate family, including an 11-year-old, have sudden cancers. Another has an autoimmune disease. And another one has issues like your pharmacist described, and her hair feels more coarse now, too. Next one. I know for certain 3 deaths following within 1 week to several months, older relatives within weeks, young adults many months, 1 cancer for certain, 2 likely, 1 stroke in a young adult, and about 30 to 40% blacked out and had dangerous falls.
I bet this is very common. I bet if we went up to almost anybody on the street now of a socially active age and lifestyle, they'd have similar stories. This is everywhere, but it's being totally, almost totally covered up. All right, are you ready? We'll go up to July. All right, here. This is interesting because it starts out with Nick O'Teen, all right? And this lady says, nicotine helped me for months, but it doesn't seem to be helping now. Do we have any other new treatments that are helping? They keep trying to diagnose me as RA, and I'm reluctant to accept it. I don't want to get stuck on heavy meds, but I'm running out of solutions to survive. My main symptom, insane flaring joint pain, on and off, no rhyme or reason, hands, feet, shoulders, bicep. Any feedback is appreciated. So just a quick aside on the nicotine issue, which still is being hailed by many people as some magical antidote. No, it's not. It's a mild, what would you call it, a mild stimulant, an amphetamine-like?
Well, you could conjecture, how it's working. It's not a cure. It helps ameliorate some of the symptoms, some of the pathology that is creating these symptoms. Now, it does have some anti-inflammatory effects. I question whether or not it's actually knocking a spike protein off of a nicotinic acetylcholine receptor. It may be changing ion gradients across a cell membrane so the nerves can reset themselves. There's a lot of possibilities, but I'm not hearing as much about it. It was quite popular there for a bit because people are desperate. They want to feel better. And for some, it did give them some relief, but almost all of them relapsed. Particularly the vax injured. I know there were some long COVID people that, that was the trick that, push them towards total recovery, if there is a total recovery. But for the most part, no, it's not an antidote. It is not an antidote. And anyone who's telling you that, and they're saying that's it's protective against shedding. Be careful.
Oh, please. Come on, how does that work? How does that work?
You know, if that was really protective, you wouldn't have had the smokers coming down with COVID.
Perfect.
And now, answer. When you introduce nicotine into the system, the body responds by upregulating the expression of ACE2. That's the receptor that the virus uses primarily to get into the body
to
invade
over.
The
the
blood vessels.
Yeah. ACE2
and
is all over the inside
the
of the vessels and arteries. It's all over the inside of the interior walls of the blood vessels.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yes. All right, go ahead. Take we got 3. Take number 2 there.
I have no idea where you are.
I'm in Oregon. I've told you this over and over again. Let's see.
Give me a map.
Well, you don't know how to pronounce it, so how are you going to get here? All right. Vax Carnage, number 1. That's the one I just read with nicotine. Vax Carnage, this is July 5th.
Okay.
Vax Carnage.
Oh, July 7th, all right.
Yeah, go for July 5th, and it's the second one. Vax Carnage, it's listed as number 1 PNG. Vax Carnage. That's the second one. First one is the nicotine I just read.
I'm not seeing it.
It's right there.
Oh, here it is.
July 5th, right in the middle.
Okay. I got it. I know for a fact my mom was displaying all the signs of Alzheimer's after her jabs. She was fine before them. Other than the typical signs of aging, she still had her faculties intact. Before she died, she was in a mess, physically and mentally. It has traumatized me seeing what she went through and how she was treated by our beloved NHS.
Mm-hmm.
The truth always comes out in the end, no matter how much they cover it up and censor those who try to speak it. Unfortunately, it's much too late for many, my mom included.
Go ahead.
And someone says to that, yes, my brother collapsed out on a walk 2 days after his first. Spent 12 weeks in the hospital and never walked again. Bedbound at home, where his mental health declined. Onset Alzheimer's rapid. He died a year later. Horrific to see the damage done to him, constantly in horrendous physical and mental pain.
See, this is, again, you won't see this on the mainstream news media. You won't even see it in the alt media, basically. You've got to look for it. This is what's happening across the board.
Mm.
It's massive, and it's not being talked about. All right, here's the last one. I had 2 Pfizer jabs. And after the first, I had 9 mini strokes, ANS, and then, misspelled, after the second, I had the second jab, I had 4 more strokes, which left me with brain damage, unable to speak or eat. I am now able to apply for VPDS. Can't type either. If a person's been that damaged, it's very sad. I've applied for VPDS in the UK and was refused, as they said my lifestyle caused all of my 13 strokes.
Can you believe it?
Well, that's the lie. I can't really overestimate the importance of understanding that this genocide is firmly tied together with transfer of wealth on a massive scale. And nobody talks about that either, except us. I've not heard anyone else talk about it. This was all planned, every damn bit of it, by Satan's own. They did it. All right.
We want to do that last one, weight gain?
Go ahead, sure.
Okay, 30 pounds. That's how much weight I've gained in the last 3 years after getting injured. I put on weight so easily, and there are times when I feel so ridiculously starving, even if I've had a full meal. Has anyone else dealt with this? If so, have you done anything that was successful in losing the weight? Please do not recommend any sort of pharmaceutical. I have tried keto, but I get the keto flu so bad, it's not worth it to me. I've also tried intermittent fasting, which has a similar side effect of keto, so I can't really handle either of those.
Yeah.
And keto flu is when, you know, you're restricting your carbohydrates and you feel awful. And that, believe it or not, is a sign of porphyria. Restricting carbohydrates, if you have a propensity for porphyria, either acquired or genetically, restricting carbs is going to bring that on.
A
lot of people following these shots have had really tremendous weight gain, and you know there could be a number of reasons for that. I think part of it's leptin resistance because their uric acid levels are sky high, and that's that can bring on leptin
weight
resistance.
Gain, aging,
mm-hmm.
Their appearance. Has failed?
I think it's a metabolic thing. I mean, their hypothalamus can be affected, and that's, you know, has a lot to do with how your body regulates appetite and energy.
So many different things. All right, we've got to run. Thank you. Take care.
Okay,
talk
my pleasure,
soon.
Jeff. Okay, good night, everyone.
And we'll be right back with more.